Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is heard or sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame update right after this. You know, Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. While his coffee pot made in Japan is perking, he puts his blow dryer made in Taiwan to work, and then he shaves with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. Then he puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan, his designer jeans made in Singapore, and a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. After cooking up some breakfast in his new electric skillet made in the Philippines, he sits down to figure out on his calculator made in Mexico how much he can spend today. After setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out and gets in his car made in Germany and goes looking, as he has for many months, for a good-paying American job. After the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while, so he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, turns on his TV made in Japan, and then ponders again why it is that he cannot find a good-paying American job. Now, instead of a good-paying American job, why doesn't Joe look for a good-paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of private business, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, and it's free. And you can call and order one right now. Remember, the number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org. All right, last time we were taking a look at the profitability of these artificial sweeteners, and they're pretty good profits in it. Probably not as good as drugs as a whole, but sugar is a drug. If you look in the scripture to find out what drugs are, it's something that's different than food. And generally, it's the witch's brew. It's something that you cook up, you know, like methamphetamine, that's a drug. It's cooked up. Remember the old pictures they give us of a witch flying on a broom or the witch's cauldron, and she's out here in her front yard, you know, and she's got this big pot over a fire and she's stirring it. She's making her witch's brew. It's called the art of the apothecary in the Bible. The art of the apothecary. Now, food is something that grows naturally. Now, sugar is something that we all need in our bodies. In fact, when you're eating pasta, carbohydrates are converted to sugar in your digestive system. Your body is full of sugar, and they come in two forms. It's called simple sugar and then complex sugar, simple and complex. So when you're eating an apple or a pear or a pea, you know, any kind of fruit, it's pretty sweet to the taste, and you say, well, I really like that fruit. That's pretty tasty. Or you could just pick a blade of grass and eat it. That blade of grass has sugar in it. And these sugars now are complex sugars, and they're designed and made by your creator to be assimilated by your body, and you can't overdose on them. That's the neat thing. You cannot overdose on them. Now, what happens when you eat too much honey? You vomit. If you eat too much of a particular food, you make a pig out of yourself, and you eat too much, then you have an automatic response, and you vomit it out. Now, these artificial sweeteners and sugar, you know, you can't get enough of it. You just, you know, you want more, you crave more, you desire more. They become habit-forming, and they become addictive. I had a guy in here one time, he's drinking soda pop, and he and his wife came in, and they had a 12-pack of Coca-Cola at 9 o'clock in the morning. And between the two of them, between 9 in the morning and 1 o'clock when we break for lunch, in 4 hours, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, yeah, 4 hours, those two people drank those 12 Cokes, so 6 Cokes each in 4 hours. That's a little bit more than 1 an hour. Now, I reported to you that Americans now drink more soda pop than they do the water. The point I'm making here is that you have this craving because you're hungry, and this artificial sugar, whether it's sugar or artificial sweetener, never satisfies that craving because there's no corresponding minerals. And what you need is minerals. So let's try it this way. You go out here in the garden and you pick a tomato and you eat it. You don't want 2, 5, or 9 tomatoes. You know, one's enough. Maybe you might eat 2. You go out here and you pick a pear off the tree and you eat it. You might eat 1 pear. Maybe you might eat 2, but you don't eat 6, 8, or 9. Now, the amount of sugar that's in a can of soda pop, 9 teaspoons of sugar. You drink 1 soda pop, there's no satisfaction there. You want another one. You want another one, not another one. You're eating cookies out of a package of processed cookies. You can't get enough of that stuff. You just eat cookies and cookies and cookies and cookies. Now, about every night when I sit down to watch the news, I take a grapefruit and I peel it and I eat a grapefruit. I don't want 2, 5, or 9 grapefruits. I can't eat that much. But if I sat there and I started drinking coffee, hell, I can drink 4 or 5. I can go to dinner and drink 5 or 6 cups of coffee. You put in a couple little packets of sugar, you know, in each cup of coffee. There's just no end to it. Now, your body can only handle about 3 teaspoons of simple sugar a day. These are simple carbohydrates. Digest it without causing body damage. So, when you drink 9 teaspoons in 1 soda pop, that's a 3-day supply. By comparison, you could sit there and eat apples and oranges and grapefruit and pears. You could eat all you wanted because it's complex sugars and your body is designed for complex sugars, and you won't overdose because if you eat too much, you'll puke it out. And in that way, you can keep a balance. You know, people that eat natural foods, they don't get diabetes. Now, when you start introducing our Western diet into people, you know, the Aboriginal people in Australia, the Africans, and so on, we can turn those people into sickies just like we are. Now, I don't deny that Nabisco cookies taste good, and I'm not denying that McDonald's doesn't taste good. I mean, hell, they sell that stuff because it tastes good. The question is, well, is it good for you? Now, when you eat a little bit of this, it doesn't kill you right away. See, and if you were to eat a Big Mac or two once in a while, you know, I suppose you could get away with that. But if a little bit's good, then a whole lot's got to be better. And so we're unable to shut it off. When I was a kid, you got a 6-ounce bottle of Coke. The old Coca-Cola bottles were about 6 ounces. Then one day they said, well, let's put this in can, and they gave us 12 ounces, twice as much. Now when you go in to buy a Coke, it's 20 ounces. And then they've got these super slurpees. You know, you walk in and you get 32 ounces. Now, boys and girls, 32 ounces is a quart. You know, they used to say you should drink a quart of milk a day. people that are serious pop drinkers, you know, they can go through a quart of soda pop in short order. So they'll buy, they go into 7-Eleven or Circle K, you know, and they walk out with this big cup, you know, it's 32 ounces. And they drink that, and they may drink two or three of those a day. You become addicted to it, is what happens. And over time, you turn into diabetes, you know, because your body can't handle it. Now, nobody's telling you that, so I thought maybe I'd point that out. When sugar consumption, excuse me, when soda pop consumption doubled in this country over the past 20 years, the incidence of diabetes also doubled. Now, we ought to be able to draw a parallel, shouldn't we? Now, I'm not opposed to diabetes. Hell, if you want diabetes, I can't think of a better way than a soda pop. I mean, just get right out there and get after it. Now, if you want to avoid diabetes, and I used to be called the Pepsi Kid. You know, I drank a lot of Pepsi-Cola. And when I found this out, I said, well, I don't think that's too good for me, so I quit. Now, I drink about one or two soda pops a year. And I'm not sure that I drank my allotment for 2009. I can't remember drinking a single soda pop in 2009, so I might be able to drink two or three this year, 2010. Now, physicians, scientists, and lay people are questioning the safety of the government-approved synthetic sweetener. And people have a natural tendency to believe that government-approved products are safe. I mean, after all, if you can't trust your government, who can you trust? However, in the case of aspartame, the product is comprised of substances that are not safe, and every phase of its journey through your body produces additional substances of known toxicity. This fact has caused increasing numbers of people to question the safety of these artificial sweeteners. Now, aspartame breaks down into substances such as methanol, formaldehyde, and formic acid. They're all known neurotoxins. So the industry says, well, normal people who are drinking these soda pops and eating this neurotoxins are not getting enough of it. They don't deny that it's poison. They say, well, you're not getting enough of this poison to cause you any harm. Now, the problem that we have with that is that different people have different tolerances for things. Like my wife, for instance, if she went into McDonald's, she'd get sick just walking in the door. Now, I can go in there and eat anything off their menu. Doesn't bother me none. Whether it's good for you or not is beside the point. You know, I can eat that crap and it doesn't seem to affect me. At least not right away. Now, I've got a boy here. He is so sensitive to these various additives that are put into foods. He's got epilepsy to start with. It can trigger a seizure. I mean, this kid, he can just eat something and have a seizure. Now, if he can be 100% free of all of these dyes and sprays and additives and one thing and another, he doesn't have seizures. So here's a guy who doesn't have seizures if you don't poison him. But the minute you poison him, I mean just with a little bit of stuff, I eat all this stuff that gives him seizures, doesn't bother me at all. I don't know if it's good for me and it may kill me before it's all over, but I don't get seizures from it. So each and every one of us, you know, may have a different level of tolerance for these various and sundry toxins. So you might want to tuck that one away in your heart, that you may be like I am, you know, just tough as nails and then nothing seems to bother you. Now, if you keep after it over a long enough period of time, you probably can kill yourself. And so that's one of the things that I'm concerned about is that, you know, just because I can go in there and eat this crap and it doesn't give me a seizure, it doesn't make me sick today, doesn't mean it isn't going to kill me later. Now, I smoked for 9 years, and then I enjoyed every puff. I never had a bad cigar. I can't ever remember one. I loved them all. But over time, I took a look at the statistics and the facts concerning it, and I woke up one day and said, you know, I think I ought to quit doing that. That in all probability, this is going to kill me. It isn't going to help me any, and it probably is going to harm me, so it would be in my best interest to quit. So I did. Now, to get to the 92 toxic side effects that you get, it doesn't always affect everybody the same way. There's effects that affects your eyes, your ears, and your nervous system. It can affect your speech. It can affect your mind and your mental ability to add and subtract, multiply and divide. It can get into your chest, cause shortness of breath. It can get into your gastrointestinal system and cause diarrhea or nausea. It can affect your skin, and you can have allergies. You can have menstrual problems, PMS. You can have death, hyperactivity in children, suicidal tendencies. Now, it's very difficult when somebody commits suicide to say, oh my God, he was sucking coke. Now, people have been studying this thing, you know, for years and years and years all around the world, and I mentioned this to you, I think, in the first program. If you take a non-industry study of aspartame or artificial sweeteners, I have never seen a positive report from a non-industry source. Can't help you. That's the end of the argument. I have never seen a negative response or report from any source that comes from the industry. They're all positive. And it doesn't make any difference what country you go to. Now, these artificial sweeteners are used around the world in 90 countries that have approved them. And these 90 countries all function similar to the United States. The government has done a study. And I don't know how they do it in France or Germany or England. You know, you people have to look into it for yourself. But here in the United States, the Food and Drug Administration says to the application, the applicant, it says, okay, well, did you do any studies on this? And let's see your studies. And they produce the study and say, we gave this to rats and mice and didn't cause any cancer. And we gave it to guinea pigs and others over there. And it's perfectly safe and there's just no problems with it at all. And it's really great. And then they approve it. Now, there are occasions that have occurred here in the United States where when too many people are dying, then the company involved will remove it from the marketplace when they get a number of lawsuits against them. You know, there's times when these drug companies will take something off the market and they'll start paying off. But the point I'm making is that they know the side effects that are caused because they've already done the studies themselves. And they know that what they're doing is causing people to get sick and to die. That's the tragedy. And it's a perfect murder. You just can't beat a murder where you kill people for profit. You know, if you were Murder Incorporated and you took $25,000 to kill somebody, we'd say, oh my God, that's terrible. That guy is a murderer. Now, if you're a drug company and you're making a product and you know that it's killing people, but you say, well, without this product over here, more people would die without it than are dying from it, so therefore on balance it's a benefit. This is the argument they use. Now, your creator designed you to live for 70 years trouble-free. In fact, he even gave you a contract and said, here, follow up on this contract and I'll guarantee you 25,550 days with no sickness or disease. When you get sick, when you have a disease, your problem is sin. And sin is the transgression of the law. So you had to break a law to get sick. Every one of you people with diabetes are criminals. You violated a law to get diabetes. Every one of you people with cancer, heart disease, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, there's 450 of these symptoms listed in the, they call this the physician's desk reference. Physician's desk reference, the PDR. They will list these symptoms and describe how your body is being affected and what the results are. And in some cases, they'll tell you, well, you know, you've got a deficiency. You know, you've got you've got some vitamin or mineral deficiency. But in most cases, they don't tell you what it is you're deficient in. That's starvation. They don't tell you what's poisoning you. They just keep running on out there and keep taking the poisons. What they're trying to do is give you an antidote that takes that symptom away. So if you've got diarrhea, for instance, nobody says, well, what's the bacteria count in your gut? You know, let's get your bacteria count under control. No, they give you kaopectate or something else, which kills the bacteria in your gut, good and bad, and then the diarrhea goes away. And now you're constipated, so now you got to take a laxative. As long as they're selling you something, you know, to make your body respond, you know, one way or the other, that's what business is all about. Now, your body is designed to work perfectly without any problems, but it's not designed very well for Coca-Cola. It just isn't designed well for that. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't suck a Coke once in a while or eat a Big Mac, but our problem is that we're sucking too many Cokes and we're eating too many Big Macs. Now, where's the balance? I don't know. I'm not here to tell you how much to eat and how much not to eat or what to drink or what not to drink. You have to decide for yourself. You know, you people are all adults, you know. I presume you're adults. And it's time for you to start thinking for yourselves and stop letting the food industry and the Coca-Cola company do your thinking for you, or McDonald's or somebody else, and come to a conclusion, you know, is this good for me or bad? I like to drink a Coke once in a while. I'm not opposed to that. Hell, I like to have a cup of coffee once in a while. But, you know, too much coffee causes disease. Now, take a look at the Mormons. They're a good bunch of people to look at here. They don't drink coffee. They don't drink Coke. There's quite a few things, the tea, quite a few things that they stay away from. And they live longer than the general population, and they have less sickness and disease as a result of it. Seventh-day Adventist, same thing. So when we take a look at demographic groups and we say, well, what are these people doing? I mentioned this to you a time or two. During the Middle Ages, there was a bubonic plague outbreak in Europe in 1348, lasted 3 years. And the Jews were virtually unaffected. You know, once in a while, probably kill a Jew, but it was pretty damn rare. And as a result of that, the people, that is the Christian people, blamed the Jews for the bubonic plague. They said, well, this is being caused by these people, as is evidenced by the fact that they're not affected by it. It didn't seem to dawn on anybody that maybe they should walk over and say, well, Mr. Jew, what is it that you eat and drink? What is it that's different about you? Why is it that this isn't affecting you? And they would have found out, well, we don't eat unclean meat. We're not eating pork and fat and blood. And as a result of that, you know, there's a response. Your body's going to respond to these. Fat, blood, and pig. And since we practice these biblical standards. Now, most people, well, that's Jewish. I hear that constantly. Well, this is Jewish. And I'm going, so what? Well, that's Mormon. Well, maybe we could learn something from the Mormons. Anybody ever think about that? You mean you can't learn something from somebody that's getting good results? This guy, Donald Trump, you know, he's a multimillionaire, pretty successful in business. You know, I haven't seen anybody say, well, that's Trump business. I wouldn't do that. It would seem like to me the logical thing to do if you're poor to ask yourself, well, what in the hell is Donald Trump doing to make money? Maybe I could learn from Donald Trump. I was in a Walmart store the other day, and when I walked in the door, there was a guy there, and he said, welcome to Walmart, and he handed over a cart to me. That's the only store that I know of that does that. They've got a greeter at the door. He's got my cart there. Now, I don't need the greeter at the door, and I don't need somebody to pull the cart out for me. I can do that. But I noticed that over at Kmart, they don't do that, and they don't do it at Target, and they don't do it at Staples. and Walmart is the world's number one retailer. And evidently, nobody else has been able to figure out what it is that makes us keep going back to Walmart. I prefer Walmart to Target Best Buy or Kmart or any of these other big box stores. Why do I prefer Walmart? Well, there's two things that I can tell you right off the top of my head. You walk into a Walmart store, the guy says, "Welcome to Walmart. Here's a basket." That tells me I'm welcome there and my business is welcome. Second, when I can't find something, there's all these people running around with little blue shirts and a badge on them that identifies them instantly as working for Walmart. And then I can say, "Hey, I'm looking for this or that." And the guy says, "Follow me." Evidently, they must have somebody that trained him and said, "Follow me." And he takes me right over to it. Evidently, they want to make the sale. Now, there's just reason, logic, and common sense that goes into this equation for business and for sickness and health. Let me just tell you a little something here. Everybody that gets sick because they broke a law. It's the only way you can get sick. And Jesus demonstrated that for us all. There was a guy that was blind. Remember this story? He was blind. So Jesus sees this blind guy over here, and he says, "Hey, boy, come here." And he spit in the ground, and he's mixing his spit in with the dust here. And he takes this spit, this mud that he's made with his spit, and he sticks it in this guy's eye. And the guy's healed, and now he can see. And all of the preachers were upset, and all of the doctors and the professional people. He was practicing medicine without a license, and he was probably doing this on Saturday and breaking the Sabbath, and they were all mad at him. And so his disciples asked him this question. They said, "Who sinned, this man's parents or this man, to cause him to be blind?" And the Messiah said, "Neither. This man was blind from birth for the express purpose for me to heal him, to demonstrate my power." They asked the right question. In the case of Job, remember when he was having all of these, we call it bad luck today, but he was having all these problems. His three friends all asked him, "Job, you got to have some secret sin to create this kind of punishment from God." And Job maintained his innocence, and he said, "No, I can't think of any laws that I'm breaking. If I could, I'd repent, but I didn't break any laws." And his friends kept telling him, no, we can't believe that God would do this. God would not do this to an innocent man. You got to have some kind of sin here." All right, so now with that in mind, if you've got these symptoms are caused by either a deficiency, that is, you've got a nutritional deficiency, or you're being poisoned. Now, with aspartame, what's happening here is you're being poisoned, and this poison manifests itself in 92 ways. Here's what happens. In your eyes. So, get a pen and paper out here now, and as we go down here, you're not going to suffer all 92 of these symptoms. Nobody does. When 10 people eat aspartame, 5 of them, nothing happens to them. They're just like I am. Their body is able to get rid of it. 5 people will come down with 5 different symptoms. Over time, though, studies over the last 30 years show us that if you've got blindness in one or both eyes, decreased vision and or other eye problems such as blurring, bright flashes, squiggly lines, tunnel vision, decreased night vision, pain in one or both eyes, decreased tears, trouble with contact lenses, or bulging eyes. There are 10 symptoms that have been linked to artificial sweeteners, and primarily aspartame. 10. So, if you go to the website www.sweetpoison.com/aspartame-side-effects, you might be able to get this. It's called Janet Starr Hull, creator of the Aspartame Detox Program. the aspartame detox program. I told you in the last program, I said, you know, we got to solve this problem. If you don't have any of these side effects, you don't have a problem. Keep eating aspartame until you get one of these, and then we'll talk to you about it. If you don't consume these artificial sweeteners, then you won't have any of these side effects caused by artificial sweetener. And if you thought that artificial sweetener is going to make you skinny and trim, artificial sweetener causes obesity. It makes you get fat. We'll see that here in a minute. Now take a look at your ears. If you got tinnitus, tinnitus is ringing or buzzing sound in your ear. If you have a severe intolerance to noise, or if you have a marked hearing impairment, four things. Tinnitus, ringing or buzzing sound, severe intolerance of noise making marked hearing impairment, you may have aspartame poisoning. Neurologic. If you have epileptic seizures, headaches, migraines, and some severe dizziness, unsteadiness, confusion, memory loss, severe drowsiness and sleepiness, paresthesia, or numbness of the limbs, severe slurring of speech, hyperactivity and restless legs, atypical facial pain, severe tremors. Now, on the TV, you will see restless leg syndrome. Restless leg syndrome. And then go to your doctor and he'll give you a prescription. And it'll ease your restless legs. Well, if the restless leg syndrome is being caused by aspartame, doesn't your common sense say to you that I should avoid this aspartame? You know, you don't have to be real smart to figure that out. I mean, if your IQ is down around the speed limit somewhere, you should be able to put two and two together. Now, psychological or psychiatric problems come up. Such things as severe depression, irritability, aggression, anxiety, personality changes, insomnia, and phobias. Now, these kinds of symptoms occur with people or to people who don't consume aspartame or artificial sweeteners. So the mere fact that you have a phobia, insomnia, personality change, anxiety, aggression, irritability, or severe depression doesn't mean that it's caused by artificial sweeteners. But there's a way to test it, isn't there? And so what they recommend is that you get off these artificial sweeteners. I mean, just make a concerted effort. You stop drinking soda pop. For most of you people, that's impossible. You could not give up soda pop for 30 days because you're addicted to it. To show you how this addiction works, I had a guy here one time, a student, he was working his way through school here, and he was addicted to Mountain Dew. Well, the day he arrived with a case, two liter bottles of Mountain Dew. And he's walking around here, and he's got this cup in his hand all the time, and he's sipping on his Mountain Dew. He goes down to cut wood, and he's got his cup with Mountain Dew in it, and when he comes out of his trailer, he's got a cup of Mountain Dew in his hand, you know. I didn't think much about it. I thought, well, I guess the guy likes Mountain Dew, you know. So some time went on. One day he says to me, hey, I got to go to the store because I'm running low on Mountain Dew. I said, okay. And I said, well, the wife's going to town Thursday, And he said, wait a minute, Thursday? It's about Tuesday. I said, you know, day after tomorrow, she'd go into town and she'll pick you up some Mountain Dew. And he said, oh, you don't understand. He said, I'm going to be out of Mountain Dew this afternoon. And I can't wait. I can't go until Thursday without my Mountain Dew. I was dumbfounded. I said, what? I mean, if the guy said, I can't wait until Thursday to have another heroin fix or cocaine or marijuana, it's, oh, you're a drug addict. I could understand a heroin addict not being able to wait 24 or 36 hours or 48 hours. But I didn't think that, you know, a soda pop drinker couldn't make it. I mean, this guy was so addicted to this stuff, he could not go a day without his Mountain Dew. So I'm telling you, I can see that it's addictive. And if you don't think that it is, well, okay, just knock it off for 30 days. And if your symptom goes away, your phobia, your insomnia, personality change, anxiety, aggression, irritability, or severe depression goes away in 30 days, then you know what caused it, don't you? But on the other hand, if it persists and you still have it, well, then, hell, maybe it isn't the aspartame that's causing your problem and it's something else. Okay, well, then get after the something else. Because whatever symptom you have is being caused by poison or a deficiency in your diet. One of those two. That's what's causing your physical disease or ailments. Hey, I'm running here at about the halfway point, and I need to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, click onto the archives page, and you can download our free general law CD package right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about aspartame update. Aspartame. There are 92 symptoms that have been categorized here. We've covered 3 of them here so far. Let's take a look here at the next one, chest. If you have palpitations, tachycardia, shortness of breath, or a recent high blood pressure, could be caused by these artificial sweeteners. Not just aspartame, artificial sweeteners. In your gastrointestinal system, if you're suffering from nausea, diarrhea, sometimes with blood in your stool, abdominal pain, or pain when swallowing. That's also been diagnosed as aspartame poisoning. Again, the test is very simple. You knock off all of the artificial sweeteners for 30 days. They recommend 60, but hell, if it doesn't show some improvement in 30 days, you know it's probably not the aspartame. At least not yet. Now remember, this formaldehyde is and methanol are deadly poisons. You preserve things in formaldehyde, and when they embalm you, they're going to take the blood out of your body and pump in formaldehyde. Here in America, we do a pretty good job of that. If you put a body, it's almost like the Egyptians, you know, when they used to prepare their bodies for mummification so that the body would last, you know, for a long time. We got a hell of a neat thing here. You take this body and you fill it with formaldehyde. That's a preservative. Then you stick it into a coffin, and then you seal the coffin, and you put it into a concrete tub, and then you seal that so that you can keep the moisture out, and that body will last for hundreds of years. It's really good. Formaldehyde. Tuck that one away in your heart. All right, now your skin and allergies. If you have itching without a rash, lip and mouth reactions, hives, or aggravated respiratory allergies such as asthma. Asthma. Oh, my God. How many people have asthma? Now you're going to sit there and say, well, my asthma is not caused by artificial sweeteners. Well, don't be so sure. It may be that you have asthma which is exacerbated by artificial sweetener. I mean, maybe you've already got asthma, which is probably caused by low water intake in your body. Your body isn't processing enough water. Now, tuck this one away in your heart. Your body needs about 1 quart of water a day. That's just to take care of your respiration. Just breathing in and out takes about 1 quart of water a day. Then, depending upon how physically active you are and whether it's summer or not, then your perspiration comes in there. You may need a quart or a gallon of water just to handle cooling your body. Then your body has to have a certain amount of water just to process your food and to maintain the liquidity in your blood to bring your nutrients, you know, from your gut out to your fingertips, and then take the waste from your fingertips back and process it through your liver and then out through your colon. You know, that all takes water. Now, I've heard it said that we need a gallon of water a day. Now, I tried that. I can't drink a gallon of water a day. You know, as hard as I try. Some people can do it, I can't. But I can get down about 2 or 3 quarts. Now, I try hard to get my 2 or 3 quarts in. And if it's a hot day, you know, and I'm perspiring a lot, I can get over a gallon in me. But on an ordinary day, I can't. So you want to get as much water in you as possible, and that'll detoxify your body. It keeps the toxins, as they're being processed through your body, moving through. So if you're having migraine, headaches, and so on, that's typically caused by a lack of water. Now you're saying, well, I drink a lot of coffee. And because I drink all this coffee, I'm getting all this water. No, you're not. No. Let me explain it. When you're drinking coffee, it goes into your stomach, and your stomach says, this is food, and I got to digest it. If you drink pure water, your body takes it and says, oh, this is water. I'll just run it right through the lining and right straight out into the cells. So your body is taking in a lot of water, and then it's digesting it, and it's going out in your urine. It's not going out to your cells. So tuck that one away in your heart. Now, when you're running short of water, the reason you're constipated is because you got a shortage of water. What happens is your body needs water, and so it's got to go someplace to get it. And so it goes to your colon and takes the water out of your colon and then shifts that off out to your cells, because it needs the water. And then without enough water or moisture in your feces, then you become constipated and you have little balls of fecal matter, you know, kind of like a sheep. It's because of a lack of water. All right, next one over here. Endocrine and your metabolic loss of control of diabetes, menstrual changes, marked thinning or loss of hair, marked weight loss, gradual weight gain, aggravated low blood sugar, hypoglycemia, and severe PMS. Now, there have been cases where women will go to a doctor and they've got severe PMS, so they've got menstrual problems, you know. And they're feeding them drugs and they're giving them tests and they're just doing everything they can to figure out what the problem is. And this goes on sometimes for years. And then one day, this lady wakes up and she says, well, maybe she's read an article in Reader's Digest or something, said, well, gee, maybe it's artificial sweetener. And so she gets off the artificial sweetener and everything goes away. And she says, my God, I've spent thousands of dollars on doctors and they couldn't do anything for me. And it was something this simple. Well, there was a lady in the Bible had the same problem. She had leukemia and she'd spent all of her money on the doctors. And now that she was out of money, they didn't want to treat her anymore. You know, doctors are that way, you know. As long as you got money, you got doctors. But when you don't have money, doctors don't want to be your friends. So she was looking for some relief, so she went up to Jesus one day, and she touched the hem of his garment. Now, on the hem of his garment, he had these tassels. And these tassels were a requirement. You know, we're all supposed to wear our fringe. It's the fringe statute. And so he said, well, who touched me? And he was in a crowd of people. And so I think it was Peter said to him, why are you asking who touched you? You got a throng of people around you. You got all these people jostling and pushing, you know, trying to get up and touch you. And he said, no, I felt energy going out of my body. And so this lady said, well, I touched you. It was me. And then he said, well, your sins be forgiven you. And oftentimes when Jesus would heal somebody, he would say, your sins be forgiven. Remember that? Well, in order for you to have this disease, then you had to have sinned. You know, And that's the way Jesus put it. Or he'd say, be healed. He told the Pharisees that one time. He said, well, which is easier, to say, be healed or your sins be forgiven you? And they criticized him and said, well, who are you to forgive sins? You know? And that was their mantra. Now, other. There are frequency of voiding and burning during urination, excessive thirst, fluid retention, leg swelling and bloating, and increased susceptibility to infection. So if you've got frequency in urinating and burning, you know, if you've got frequency of voiding, I guess that's bowels, burning during urination, excessive thirst, fluid retention, leg swelling and bloating, increased susceptibility to infection. Six more symptoms there. Now, additional symptoms of aspartame toxicity include the most critical symptoms of all. Death, that's a bad symptom. Irreversible brain damage. Birth defects, including mental retardation. Peptic ulcers. Aspartame addiction and increased craving for sweets. Hyperactivity in children. Severe depression. Aggressive behavior and suicidal tendencies. Now, you got all these kids, you know, that are on Ritalin. Hell, when I was a kid, we didn't have any Ritalin problems. Of course, we didn't have any aspartame problems either. So as I'm getting older and I look around at my society and I see more and more symptoms of more and more diseases, more and more problems that people have, physical problems, I say to myself, you know, we didn't used to have that when I was a kid. So there must be something that we're doing different today than we were doing back in 1940 or 1950 or 60. And by golly, there is. See, this aspartame poisoning didn't come along till 1981. All right, now, aspartame may trigger or mimic or cause the following illnesses, like chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr, post-polio syndrome, Lyme disease, Graves' disease. Now think about that. Graves' disease, Lyme's disease, post-polio syndrome, Epstein-Barr, chronic fatigue syndrome, Meniere's disease, Alzheimer's disease, ALS, that's Lou Gehrig's disease, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, EMS, hypothyroidism, mercury sensitivity from amalgam fillings, fibromyalgia, lupus, non-Hodgkin's disease, lymphoma, and attention deficit disorder, that's ADD. Now, that's 18 symptoms there. Now, Alzheimer's disease and ALS. Has anybody ever thought that it's as simple as aspartame poisoning? It's a neurotoxin. It's a brain toxin. It's a nervous system toxin. Huh? You ever think about that? All of you people that were over in the first Gulf War, and you're suffering from Gulf War syndrome, has it ever occurred to you that you got that Gulf War syndrome, it screwed up your body because of the diet sodas that you were drinking over there? How many diet sodas does it take to give you Alzheimer's disease, ALS, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, or hyperthyroidism, or, you know? I don't know. Different people have different sensitivities. As I mentioned earlier, my boy Dirk, you know, his body is so sensitive that if he were to drink a Diet Coke, I don't think he'd get the whole Diet Coke down and he'd have a seizure. Then he would have seizures to follow. He'd have seizures for a day or two just from that one Diet Coke. I was in a restaurant one day and was sitting there, had a cup of coffee, and I said, I'm going to try this NutraSweet. I want to try this and see what it's like. And then I tried it. And I noticed my coffee was a little bitter. I didn't care too much for the taste of the coffee with the NutraSweet. So second cup of coffee, I tried the sugar. And then by comparing the two of them, my conclusion was, you know, for my taste buds, that I would prefer the sugar. Now, normally when I go into a restaurant, I ask the waitress, do you have any honey? And if they say, yes, I've got honey, then I'll order coffee. And then I sweeten it with honey. And then I ask them, you know, well, have you got any half and half or milk rather than this artificial cream, you know, that they've got in these little packets, you know? So what I'm doing here is I'm taking something that's, you know, not quite as bad as something else. I know all you Mormons are sitting out there saying, oh, my God, this guy's drinking coffee. Well, you know, yeah, I drink a little. I drink a little Jack Daniels once in a while, too. Now, if you drink a little too much Jack Daniels, you know, you turn into an alcoholic. And then you get, what is it, when your liver goes haywire like Mickey Mantle? And you get cirrhosis of the liver, they call it. Cirrhosis of the liver. Well, okay. Well, could we drink a little less Jack Daniels? You know, just keep it a little under the bar there so we don't get cirrhosis of the liver. Could we drink a little Coca-Cola, but, you know, could we keep it down to a point where we don't create these diseases? Moderation is pretty important. And a question arises, well, what's moderate? Well, to the two people I mentioned to you that drink a 12-pack of Coke between the two of them in 4 hours, I guess that's moderation. I drink one or two a year. I call that moderation. I don't know how much you should drink or how much you shouldn't. But, you know, use your head, make up your mind. If somebody points out to you that this is what's causing your problem, or maybe is causing your problem, hell, you could probably solve it yourself. Now, we're up to 75 here. Now, these are not allergies or sensitivities, but diseases and disease syndromes. Aspartame poisoning is commonly misdiagnosed because aspartame symptoms mock many of the textbook disease symptoms, such as Graves' disease. Aspartame changes the ratio of amino acids in your blood, blocking or lowering the levels of serotonin, tyrosine, dopamine, norepinephrine, and adrenaline. Therefore, it is typical that aspartame symptoms cannot be detected in lab tests and on x-rays. Textbook disorders and diseases may actually be a toxic load as a result of aspartame poisoning. Now, your body has an immune system, and your immune system is pretty important to you, and your immune system will detoxify your body, and in some people, it does a pretty good job. In mine, my immune system must be working pretty good, because if I take in poisons that would cause my son to have seizures, it doesn't bother me at all. His immune system doesn't work very well at all, because right away, his body can't handle the toxic overload, and he has seizures. So I counsel aspartame victims worldwide and have witnessed 9 out of 10 clients restore their health by following the aspartame detoxification program. Begin with detoxifying your body of all residual chemical toxins from aspartame's chemical makeup of phenylalanine, aspartic acid, methanol, and their toxic byproducts, and see if any adverse health symptoms remain. Try the aspartame detoxification program, and within 30 days, your symptoms should disappear. So the steps, you've got 10 steps here. Let me see if I can get these in. He says, remove all sugar-free products with aspartame from your diet. That's number one. Learn to read your body. Begin recording any health changes. That's two. Get a hair analysis. That's where you cut a little lock of hair off and send it into a lab, and they'll send you back a report and say, hey, you've got toxic residue. You've got these heavy metals or something, you know, in your body. Number four, be happy with yourself. Number five, detoxify. Number six, restore depleted nutrients. Number seven, exercise and get plenty of rest. 8. Eat 75% raw foods at every meal. 9. Drink water, water, water. And 10. Get control of your life. You've got these 10 steps over here. Now, if you'd like to have a copy of this, remember this comes from www.sweetpoison.com. Can you remember that? Can you write that down? www.sweetpoison.com. Calm, and then go to /aspartame side effects. I think that'll do it for you. Now, if you see somebody with a diet drink, you know, this guy's, he wants you to go up to him and talk to him and say, do you have any of these side effects? I don't do that. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not here to tell you to stop drinking Coca-Cola or don't eat Big Macs and fries. Hell, adults should be able to figure out for themselves what it is that they want to eat and drink or smoke. But I do think that you're entitled to have somebody point out to you, did you know that this problem existed? Now I've pointed it out to you. Take action. All right, we're about out of time here, so let me give you a reminder that you are listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience on the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.